Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Maybe one of the most important products that most people include in their financial plan is a term life insurance policy of some kind. So my question to you is, when is a term life insurance policy not just a term life insurance policy? And you're going to find out, and I'm going to give you the sneak peek at the ending. It's when it's the last insurance policy you'll ever have. Now, you're probably not planning on keeping that policy for a long period of time, but let's go into that for a little bit. A life insurance policy that's term insurance only is pretty much a bet on your part that you're going to die during the period of time for which you buy the policy, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So you're betting that you're going to die, and the life insurance company is betting that you're going to live. And so that's kind of an interesting proposition, especially when you consider that life insurance companies are in the business of determining life expectancy. They call them mortality tables. So they know for large numbers of people approximately how many people are going to die in a given year, how many people are going to die in a given demographic. And so they know that if you're buying a life insurance policy, they're not even going to make an offer on you unless they think that you're going to live 20 years. So they feel like you're healthy enough to insure for 20 years, and here you are buying a policy for 10 years. So right off the bat, you're stacking the deck against yourself by saying, let me buy a 10-year life insurance policy in case I die during that first 10 years. So now think about, generally speaking, the possibility of a term life insurance policy paying off, paying out a death benefit, is about 1 in 100. So there's a 99% chance that your policy is not going to pay a death claim while it's in effect. So in other words, you're going to outlive the policy. And you're going to say to me, well, but I'm only buying it in the interim. I'm buying it for now, and I'm buying it for, let's say, while my kids are young, while my kids are still at home, while my kids are still in college, and I'm the only gainfully employed person outside the home. My wife wears 15 hats for which she doesn't get paid, and which she's worth way more than I ever earned. But let's set that aside. I'm the only earner. Therefore, I want to cover my wife until such time as either we hit a windfall, we save up a bunch of money, we're ready to retire, we have other assets. So you're going to cover yourself for that period of time. So I'm going to say to you, if you're going to make a bet on your life, why not make that bet on the absolute maximum amount that the life insurance company will give you? So if you're worth $200,000 a year in income and you're 40 years old, the insurance company is going to give you 20 or 25 times your income. They'll give you $400,000 or $500,000 times 10, $4 million, $5 million. So why not insure yourself for the whole boat? So think about that. Are most people buying a life insurance policy that's term on the prospect that it's going to pay off? Or are they buying it to satisfy their spouse that they bought coverage, never believing for once that it's going to pay off? So I'd like you to think about things and go a little bit deeper. I also want you to understand what it is that you're buying. So understand that a 10-year term policy is not an unconditional promise to pay for death at any age. It's an unconditional promise to pay if a death occurs during that term period. Because if it's a 10-year policy and you go to year 11, that 11th year premium is going to go through the roof. It might be 10, 20, 30 times what you're paying during the guaranteed term premium. And let's talk about buying a term life policy. It's kind of like playing a game of musical chairs. You want to have a chair that you're going to sit on, and it's going to hold you up when you sit on it. Now, in my mind, there are two things that are important, among other things, two things that are important about a term life insurance policy. One is that it pays off when you die, obviously. But two is that it's a really important placeholder, because if you wind up losing your ability to qualify for the next term policy, then this term policy might be the most important financial product you ever own in one aspect. Only if that term policy is convertible to whole life. Now, we could talk about the differences between whole life and universal life and variable life. I only recommend whole life and a properly structured whole life policy that we use in the context of an infinite banking concept setting. So we're teaching our clients how to build up capital and use it to collateralize purchases and investments and expenses. And that's a whole different conversation and different episode. But I want that term life policy to be a placeholder so that if you lose your ability to qualify for the next policy, that this policy is convertible. Now, you're going to find out when you read your contract that not all term policies are convertible for the entire period of term. You may have a 10-year term policy that's convertible for the whole 10 years, but you need to know that. What if your 10-year term policy is only convertible for 7 years? You need to know that. Because if you get out to year number 8 and you're no longer insurable, then this policy is going to be good for wallpaper, because you probably won't be able to afford to pay the high premiums to continue the term. So being able to convert that term life insurance policy to whole life on a guaranteed basis is important. And how long is that conversion or that convertibility available? Now, again, most term buyers have no intention of keeping their policy for a long period of time, except if the worst thing happens and they lose their insurability. Now, what I want you to remember is that when you buy a term life policy and then you get to the end of the period, you're actually giving up three kinds of benefits. You're giving up all the premiums that you would have paid in over the period of time. You're giving up what all those premiums would have earned, so the lost opportunity cost, if you had invested that money in something else, if you had put that money into something else that could earn something for you. So you're losing premiums, you're losing the earnings on the premiums, and you're also giving up the death benefit. And so, since not all term policies are convertible, in fact, most term policies are not convertible to whole life. Now, you may buy a cheap term policy from a cheap term company, and it's going to look like every other policy unless you look under the hood. And you might go down to the clause that says, this policy is convertible to a policy that is ordinarily issued by this company. Now, when you go to find out that the policies that this company issues on an ordinary basis are not whole life, and in fact, they may only be universal life, and they may not be a universal life that's really well built, you may be stuck with a policy that costs a lot of money that does not carry you through your lifetime. So again, we're talking about all the ramifications that could occur from not understanding how a simple term life insurance policy works. Now, you're going to find that agents, and I am one, agents love selling term insurance. Why is that? Because at the end of the 10 years, you decide that you still need life insurance. You decide you're willing to take an exam, and maybe even you're able to pass the physical. The agent will love to sell you that second line, that second edition, that second generation of term policy, because now the agent is going to make a new commission on the second 10 years. And that's fine, except that where's the end of this game? You can't continue to buy term policies every 10 years. And if you were to spend out all that money decade after decade, you would have been better informed to buy a whole life policy from the very beginning, even if you had bought a fraction of the death benefits that you need in whole life, let's say $500,000 of whole life or $250,000 of whole life with a $2 million term rider. So now you've got one policy that's got the large death benefits that you want, but you have at least the foundation for a whole life policy that you can build on, and you can convert the rest of that term in pieces, in whole, in part, as you go along, as you can budget and as you can build it into your wealth system. Now, you're going to find if you ask couples and you have a couple sitting in front of you and you ask the husband, how long do you think you'll need that life insurance policy? The husband is typically going to give you a number, 10 years, 15 years, etc. But if I ask the missus, I'm going to say, how long do you want your life insurance policy on your husband to be in effect? Or putting it another way, when are you willing to cancel it? She's going to say to me, I'm not ever willing to cancel it. I want that policy to be in effect on the day he dies, God forbid. So maybe we should gain some wisdom and some perspective from that statement, because if we're buying a policy to secure the benefit and the stability for the family, the wife, et cetera, but why not take that into consideration and look at the long term? So if it's the last policy you'll ever own, I can pretty much guarantee you it's not going to be term on the day that you die. Now, you want to buy quality in all areas of your life. You probably don't want to buy the cheapest whippet to drive. You'd like to buy the nicest car that you can afford. You'd like to keep your house in good shape. You'd like to have the landscaping done up really nicely and keep the house painted and maintained. You want to enjoy where you live. You want to buy quality. You want to take quality vacations. Why not buy quality when it comes to your life insurance? And I'm not even talking about buying whole life instead of term. I'm saying when you go to consider a term policy, ask the questions that you haven't asked up until now. Find out what kind of a company this is that you're buying the term insurance from. Does this company offer whole life policies if I ever decide I want to convert to one? How long is that conversion period available to me? Because I want to know how soon I have to convert and if I can extend that conversion availability by paying an extra cost. What's the difference between going with the cheapest term company or with a higher quality term company that happens to sell a good whole life policy? Most likely, you're going to want that company to be a mutual company that sells a dividend paying whole life policy. And that company is typically going to be over 100 years old. So by virtue of that fact, you're going to know that the company you're dealing with has a long track record, a strong track record, good financials, and is able to show you their menu of services, their menu of products, and they'll have a whole life policy that is available when you go to convert the term. That's another important point. Not every term policy is convertible to every policy that the company has in their menu. Some insurance companies will use their term product as a loss leader, and they'll only allow that particular term product to be convertible to a select a number of whole life policies or other policies. They might not even allow you to convert to whole life. They may only allow you to convert to universal life. These are questions you may not know to ask, but I'm trying to give you this a short list of things so that you can consider for the next time you talk to an agent or a new company. So you probably know this, but I want to remind you that term life insurance starts off cheap, but it costs lots of money in the end. Whole life starts off with a higher outlay, but at the later years, you're going to have cash flowing and you're going to have a policy that's going to sustain itself and going to sustain you and offer a death benefit to you throughout your lifetime, which means until the day you die, no matter what, when that is. So you want to know if a policy will continue for life or for a limited number of years only. You want to know if it's convertible anytime or for a limited number of years. You want to know exactly when your conversion option will expire. You'd also like to know, will this term policy give me a return of some of my premium if I survive the length of term, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is? Is there a return of premium feature that could be included at an extra cost or maybe not available? You need to know these things. Do you understand all the benefits, the contract provisions, the clauses of the policy? And I'm concerned that many people, because they see the term policy as a throwaway, that they don't realize that it could possibly be an important component of your estate plan, of your benefits to your family, if in fact it winds up needing to be kept in the estate, needing to be kept in your family portfolio. So don't look for the cheapest term just because you want to keep price in mind. You should keep all these questions in mind, get the answers to these questions, and then look at the difference between buying from a higher quality company with all the offerings that I mentioned and more, or whether you're just going to go with a cheap term company, which may wind up costing you the premium and the earnings and the death benefit because you didn't understand that there was a possibility of the bottom falling out from under you at the worst possible time. I don't want these policies to fall off a cliff because you didn't understand them and someone possibly didn't take the time to explain all the benefits that you could have had. Hope this helps you. And if it does, look forward to you following me. Thanks.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.